Welcome to America's Commercial Real Estate Show, your source for market intel, forecast, and strategies. Hello, I'm Michael Bull. Thank you for being with us. This show is brought to you by Lument. Check them out if you need financing, especially on medical, multifamily, or senior. Check it out. You can check out more about Lument at lument.com. Well, speaking of financing, that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got Lonnie Hendry with us, Chief Product Officer with TREP. And please welcome Lonnie. Lonnie, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy our conversations and really looking forward to the discussion today.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to the folks around the country to hear from you and what's going on, because we're all kind of on our tippy toes. But hey, what's the distress market look like? What's going on with these loans? So what do you see right now? What are the trends?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think we've kind of hit an inflection point where the distress narrative is really getting a lot of pushback, and, you know, rightfully so in some markets, where we're starting to see transaction velocity pick up. We're starting to see new origination loan issuance pick up. And so it's really kind of, you know, this inflection point where not everything is negative. There's a lot of positive stuff coming out of the market, and not just industrial properties. You know, you're starting to see some other retail sales and other things, you know, set price records or come in at really strong prices. So I think, you know, clearly there's going to be more distress. The office sector still struggling, some multifamily stuff in the Sun Belt that was, you know, bought in the last couple of years on floating rate, short-term debt has some challenges, but it's nice. I think in some markets, you know, we've kind of bottomed out, and it seems like the market's ready to pick back up.
Well, I think most people would expect that the delinquency rates would be rising. Is that not the case?
Yeah, so surprisingly, in March, we actually saw a slight decrease in the CMBS delinquency rate. So it went down to about 4.67%. It was 4.71% in February. So not a significant decrease, but it reverses the trend of that, you know, increasing delinquency rate. And we even saw office properties show a slight decrease in the delinquency rate. So, you know, just to give some historical perspective, the all-time high CMBS delinquency rate was 10.34%, which was achieved in July of 2012. So I think there's two takeaways here. It's great that we started to see a slight decline. Maybe that's a blip and things pick back up and we start seeing some distress play out over the next couple of years. And I think the 10.34 would indicate that we're probably still early in the cycle. I mean, that peak delinquency wasn't hit until about 4 years after the GFC. So I would expect over time we're going to see an increasing delinquency. But this time, you know, maybe the trough wasn't as deep and the markets have seemed to have been a lot more reflective of like an insatiable appetite. There's a ton of dry powder on the sidelines. There's people wanting to place capital. So maybe this is a sign that delinquency has peaked. I think we're probably still too early to say that. But for those that make a living doing transactions, I'm hopeful for them that that is the case.
And thank you for that. And we've certainly seen that as brokers. It's like January 1st, the spigot turned back on and folks were saying, all right, we got a level playing ground here. We kind of know basically what's going on. And people started buying and selling. Banks started doing a little bit more foreclosure. And I want to ask you about some of the lenders. You know, a lot of the lenders seem to be kicking a can down the road and trying to do workouts, which is smart. And some of them are selling notes. Are you seeing the velocity on note sales changing any?
Yeah, so that's another, you know, area where we've seen some increase in traffic. So we talk to a lot of lenders. We work with a lot of lenders. We talk to a lot of, you know, acquisition teams that are looking for non-performing notes or assets, et cetera. And it seems like, kind of to your point, that January 1st timeframe heading into 24, we started seeing people a lot more receptive of looking for alternative sales options. So excuse me, we've seen non-performing loans, we've seen banks, you know, that weren't able to reach some sort of a modification or extension term with borrowers be more aggressive through the foreclosure process. And I think it's kind of, it's a positive and a negative if you can frame it that way, in the sense that when an asset's identified or a note's identified as non-performing and the bank's willing to take a haircut on it, it actually gets it off their books. It allows the next owner to come in and hopefully try to increase the value and add some value to that market. And we get out of this like stagnated non-transaction area that we were in for the last 12 months or so outside of this first 3 months of 24. So I'm hopeful that you're kind of cutting bait with the bad assets and you're just moving on. And we've seen some people do that successfully. I don't know if it's going to continue into this year, but it all indications at this point suggest that that banks are being a little more aggressive and that there's plenty of buyers sitting on the sidelines waiting for those opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. I was at a two-day event a few weeks ago on the stressed loan market, debt market, and there was a lot of talk from the note buyers that there wasn't enough discount in these notes. And the lender saying, can you take that big a discount? You know, and I'm like, all right, well, guys, you know, there's something in between called a short sale. So call me, I get it. If you're buying the note and you got to look at the collateral as probably your only saving grace, then, you've got to have a huge discount for the unknowns. But if we take a property on a short sale to market, there are unknowns that buyers can do due diligence, right? And we kind of skip the middleman. So any lenders out there, if you're thinking about selling a note and you don't like the numbers, call me. We may be able to, if you got a borrower that's cooperating and you got a clean title, then we may be able to get you a much higher recovery with a short sale. And anything else you kind of seeing, Lonnie, there's a trend right now with lenders regarding their distressed loans?
I think they're being a lot more proactive and just addressing, you know, what their exposure is to certain asset classes and certain geographies, right? So office is clearly taking the headlines. If you look at office issuance over the last, call it 18 months or so, they've been very selective on any type of new office issuance. In fact, we put out a report a couple of weeks ago that showed for 2024, urban office issuance was underwritten at a 14 debt yield. If you go back and look for the last, as I mentioned, about 18 months, it was about a 15 debt yield if you look at office, urban, and suburban issuance. So they're being a lot more cautious in the office sector. I think there's still a propensity for lenders to work with multifamily and industrial borrowers. Retail has been incredibly strong. So, you know, the distressed stuff is fairly limited at this point to just office and maybe some hotels that didn't get their PIP plan implemented, pre-COVID, and they're still not a position to revamp the hotel, and they're now managing an asset that's really tired. I think the wild card here is just the regulator. At what point does the regulator come in and start, making some of these institutions mark to market some of their portfolio? I think if and when that happens, you'll see some real activity in the marketplace. At this point, I think they're just doing some proactive housekeeping, and that's increased the transaction velocity, as we mentioned. But nothing that's like completely tilted the scales at this point. Like there's a lot of modifications going on. There's a lot of extensions that are taking place. And I take that as a positive sign in the sense that during the GFC, the first time something didn't cover debt service, they were handing the keys back. And at least in this instance, you can look at particular pockets of properties in certain areas. And there's a lot of did a deal the other day. I was looking at multifamily in the DFW market, and I want to say there's about 13% of the data that TREP tracks that they had debt service coverage less than one, but the delinquency rate was still less than 1%. So those borrowers are coming up with the money to cover the mortgage even when operations are not covering it itself. So I think you could take a negative view and say, well, there's a bunch of shadow stuff out there that hasn't shown up in the headlines potentially, but I'll take the optimistic view and say these guys still feel like they're in the money. And they're doing what they have to do to keep the property operational, hoping for the market to correct a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a much better market than it was in the great financial recession. I didn't think it was that great, but I think there is a lot more dry powder. And there's also just a lot better performance, on these properties and demand. So it is kind of a different situation. And we're starting to see more of this distress property come to market. We're selling a foreclosed hotel, foreclosed senior housing. We just got an assignment for a 73,000 square foot office building. Get this, at $57 a foot to buy it.
So, yeah.
Somebody's going to make a killing getting these buildings this cheap. I think the office market turns around faster than we think at this point. I know it looks so dire to a lot of us, depending on where we're looking right now. But I think with new supply kind of stopping and some buildings torn down, some converted, and then just overall growth that keeps happening, I think demand might turn around a good bit faster than people kind of expect now. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what these distressed buyers can find in this market, because it's not, I don't think it's going to be as bad as last time, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that's been proven, at least at this point. I mean, we've had some pretty notable transactions in LA, San Francisco, Chicago, where the price per foot on office really shocks you. It's so low relative to the previous transaction. But to your point, I think the sentiment clearly has shifted, you know, maybe not enough to move the needle nationally or on the macro, but there's definitely kind of a groundswell of people saying they think office now becomes an opportunity, whereas 12 months ago, they were still hands-off on office. And I think that's a good sign. There's going to be certain markets where there's winners and losers. But I think if you have good migration patterns, you have good underlying fundamentals, not all these offices are going to be converted. We could talk at length about how I think that's been overblown. But the reality is people are going to be able to buy these offices, like you're saying, $50 a square foot or $75 a square foot. I mean, that 5 years ago was, you know, Class B industrial type pricing for an office building in great locations. And so I think the tide's turning there. I agree with you. I think that we're going to see a faster recovery. I do think, though, for some markets, it's going to be longer than what people want. And that's okay. Like that's the benefit of the commercial real estate industry, is not every property is the same, not every market's the same, not every buyer and seller is the same. And there's opportunity in that information asymmetry and maybe what you know about a certain property or market that somebody else doesn't. And I think the savvy investors that really have an operational plan, you're going to see them doing really, really well over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, the point about investors being a good time for them to buy, yeah, it's great. What about lenders, though, Lonnie? I mean, it seems to me that if you're a lender in this market, that you might be getting potentially one of the most safest loans they've done in many years. Am I missing anything there?
No, I've been saying the same thing. It's funny. It's like they're going to make the best loans they've made in the last 10 years now, and it's because the due diligence and just the oversight on that, you know, loan committee and the diligence that they're requiring the borrower provide documentation and so forth is at a level that we haven't seen in some time. Also, with the higher cost of capital and, you know, the suppression of some of the values and, you know, cap rates expanding, et cetera, you're actually getting what I would consider probably a more reasonable mark to market on loan to values and other things than what we had when interest rates were at, you know, effectively zero and trailing 12-month cap rates were at sub 3 in some markets on multifamily. That LTV gets inflated at some level where the value is just way too high and the loan to value is a lot lower than what it really is. So I think, to your point, you're going to see some really good loans made here. You know, they're requiring borrowers to make deposits at their institutions. There's more of a commitment from an equity position. And like I mentioned, that loan to value metric where, you know, there's more skin in the game for the borrowers in this instance. And so I think, you know, the cost of capital is more. If you're a borrower, you're not liking the terms as much, obviously, as you did in the previous run-up. But the reality for the lenders is they're not in a terrible, terrible place. I think, and outside of office, there's been good issuance. I mean, we've seen issuance across the other asset classes, you know, bounce back pretty strongly coming out of COVID. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 9 months or so. But I'm pretty optimistic. I think if the Fed decides to lower rates at all in 2024, even though mathematically it doesn't make a huge impact, I do think there'll be a significant positive psychological impact, which should just accelerate the market even more than what we've seen through this first quarter.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, with a much lower basis, these lenders have opportunity now to do safe loans, and also don't have to worry about the higher rates right at maturity. Well, let's hope they don't have to worry about higher rates than now at maturity. And also, I think it's a great time for lenders to build some really good relationships. I know some of the lenders are only doing loans with their great customers that they already have, but I think obviously you should be doing that but also to develop some new relationships. I had a lender, the bank, do a loan on an office building I own during the Great Recession, when the existing lender said, you know what, you pay on time, great credit, great income, but you know, you can't, no one can get a loan on a office building right now, so we want you to pay us off. And I'm like, wait, what? And the guy came to look at it, the building. He said, wow, this building's nice. He said, it's in good shape. I said, yeah, I know, I own it. And I said, yeah, why are you guys foreclosing on people that are paying on time and have good credit? Oh, it just came, you know, from above, mark to market, whatever. And I said, okay. I said, you know who you guys use to sell foreclosed properties in Metro Atlanta or in Georgia? He said, no. I said, do you guys use me? And this bank, I'm not going to mention their name because I'm not like them anymore, but they're so big. You know, they could have, I said, so you're going to foreclose on me, and then someone else in another department of your bank is going to call me to sell it. You know, so I ended up, another really good bank, Truist, which was BB&T at the time, comes in and, you know, Michael, we're going to give you a loan based on who you are. Just, you know, we don't care about the market. We know you're a good guy. You're going to pay us. And man, they had a fan for a long time, right? That's a great time to build these relationships and do safe loans.
Yeah, I think that, and that's what that, like that community regional bank space is really relationship type lending. And so, I mean, I think there's an immense opportunity, as you mentioned, for them to really foster those relationships during this downturn. I mean, everyone's on edge when there's distress in the market. Everyone's doing everything they can to try to, you know, get NOI where it needs to be, cover debt service, and, you know, minimize expenses, et cetera. And so hopefully banks are able to come in, find those relationships, partner with people, invest in them, and they'll reap the benefits. I mean, the reality is real estate's cyclical. We're in the part of the down cycle now. But guess what? The people that own assets during the down cycle, when the market starts to turn, they're going to be really aggressive in buying additional properties, and those relationships will bolster the bank's position. So I think, you know, everything you just described is a really interesting story, but it shows like they've earned your business, and I think you're probably going to do everything you can to support them going forward. And that's what makes that community and regional banking space as successful as it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and to be clear, the bank that I don't like, I did not name, the bank that did a great loan was BB&T, now Truist. So yeah, I'll sing their praises, and they came in at a time and just did the loan. In fact, they had did the appraisal, and they asked me if the appraiser didn't like me, and I'm saying, what? And I said, no, I don't think there's any appraiser that doesn't love me. I speak at the Appraisal Institute's meetings every year in Georgia. But some reason the guy appraised it really, really low, and I found out he was an investor in an office deal that had gone south, and he was just really soured on office, and they threw the appraisal in the trash or in the file and did the loan at me. So
yeah,
I'm not telling lenders you should do all that, but I think it's a great time to get relationships. Well, Lonnie, we have Lonnie Hendry here on video and on the show with Trepp, and I have to ask you, Lonnie, because you're in the midst of it, talking to all these lenders and things. You know, what do you expect for interest rates as we go through 2024? Because, you know, there's been talks of maybe 25 basis points reductions, and there seems to be people saying, oh, no, inflation's not under, it's not in hand, or we're not going to have them, or it's going to be much later. I see some folks that we talk to think that interest rates are not going to change materially at all, and they're kind of going about business that rates are more normal. We're more in a normal interest rate historical environment, and then moving forward. But then I have some people, oh, I'm going to wait because interest rates are going to come down. What do you think?
Yeah, I would not subscribe to that last strategy. I mean, I think if you're waiting on interest rates to make your investment decisions, you probably don't have a great investment thesis. You know, the reality is, regardless of the interest rate environment, regardless of the part of the cycle that you're in, there are still opportunities in the market, both from a buyer or seller perspective, as well as from a lender perspective. So I think interest rates are one component, but they're just one component, just like revenue, you know, line item, laundry income for a multifamily property, or food and beverage for a hotel. You don't make a purchase decision based on one line item, and you shouldn't make a decision based off of just interest rates alone. And I tend to agree with the narrative that this higher for longer probably is going to take shape, and we've seen that. The Fed's had a couple of opportunities in 24. Based on the way Powell had set it up at the end of 23, that they would potentially cut rates the first part of 24, and they haven't. And I think if you look at the broader economy, it's still really, really strong. I mean, stock market's going crazy. Unemployment's still incredibly low. I could see us being at a higher for longer interest rate where we're kind of at this, you know, 5+% you know, Fed funds rate for some time. And maybe they throw in a couple of 25 basis point, you know, reductions. It's an election year. Things get a little bit funny. So I wouldn't be shocked with that. But I don't see a material change unless something, you know, outside of what we're witnessing today, some geopolitical or something else, you know, happens where we really have to stimulate things. But at this point, I kind of like the narrative of this is kind of where we're at. The market seems to be working. If transaction velocity continues on the pace that it is, I think you can make the case that this is just where we end up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's going to be material changes. And, you know, I've been a broker for a long time and worked through a lot of different interest rate environments. And, you know, I could tell you there was times when if we could get a 12% fixed rate interest rate, we were just so excited, right? And we were still doing deals and clients were making money. I mean, these guys that have been in the business 10 years and just kind of think of rates, you know, money being free. Well, it wasn't always free, and clients were still making money. And there's a lot of sellers today that do have a good bit of profits in their property and less product on the market. There's still a lot of buyers, especially for multifamily and for industrial and for retail. There's just a ton of buyers out there. So it can be a good time, as you said. And as for buyers, you think about it, you know, real estate's usually considered a long-term hold, right? I mean, it's not liquid, right? Although it's a liquid, call me, I can sell it quick, but it's not liquid. So if it's a long-term hold, you know, to your point, Lonnie, if interest rates is just one part of it, how long are you going to have that interest rate? You know,
yeah,
I've got some properties I don't have any loans on that had rates that were pretty high at one point.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. I mean, the interest rate, that's not forever, right? I mean, like people say the basis is forever. If you buy and hold, interest rate comes and goes. And I think that's the reality. And so, you know, if you had an interest rate at 3.25 and now you're at 7, I'm not downplaying the impact that can have on your investment thesis in that building or whatever. But at the same time, you know, hope isn't really a strategy, and hoping that they cut rates and holding off until that happens to do something, that's not really a great investment thesis either. I mean, I think you got to look at the market, you got to look at the data, you got to make informed decisions. If you're not a forced seller in this market and there's downward pressure on pricing and the property's cash flow positive, you should just ride it out. And if you have to refi into another loan and the interest rate's a little bit higher, but it doesn't detrimentally impact your cash flow, that's just the cost of doing business. And so I think you're seeing a lot more people come to grips with this. I think just the rapid pace that the Fed raised rates and that uncertainty that came with it is really what stifled the market. Once people realize we've kind of leveled off, as you mentioned, I mean, this interest rate environment is no worse than I could give you 5 or 6 other time periods where it's been significantly more aggressive. This is kind of at a historical norm. Now that the uncertainty is worn off, people are realizing like you can make these deals work. You just can't make them work at a trailing 12, you know, 3.25 cap rate. And guess what? Probably not sustainable in that instance anyways.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I think a lot of folks don't want to put their head in the sand, whether you're a lender or a borrower. If you have an issue, we're involved in several situations now where either the borrower or the lender brings us in as the liaison, as the middle guys that kind of come in. We're not lawyers. We're not fighting. And we come in and work it out between the borrower and the lender. If it's a workout or is it a short sale? Is this a friendly foreclosure? You know, something that provides a better recovery for the lender, or maybe 100% recovery, and keeps the borrower out of more financial and legal issues. So yeah, just get with someone like me and others like us, and work through these things. Cause you know, if you start lawyering up and getting defensive, it can go awry.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part where it gets, there's a chance for things to go off the rails. And I think, you know, you brought up some interesting points with the short sales and other things. You know, that was a strategy that was employed pretty heavily during the GFC. I haven't seen it at scale yet, but in some instances, that's the best avenue on the go forward. So I know you put a newsletter out. I'm hoping to hear some stuff coming from you on this since we've talked about it today. I know you have a lot of experience with that, Michael, and it'd be good to get some of your insight, you know, shared with the marketplace, because I do think that could be a really viable option for people that maybe haven't considered it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It can work very well for the lenders to really get a much higher recovery than a note sale, because the note sale has to put in worst case scenarios and especially involving the collateral. So a good point. Well, Lonnie, what would you leave our audience with to think about for the lending situation in the distressed market moving forward?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, the market doesn't move on headlines. The reality is every market's local, every property's local, lending relationships are local. And so, you know, the hype is the hype, and there's some truth to all the headlines, both positive and negative. But the reality is it's a resilient asset class. I think I said this the last couple of times I've been on. CRE's proven that it can, you know, it can deal with ups and downs in the market. Borrowers are not usually willing to walk away from their equity. Lenders are not usually willing to sell properties at a loss. Everyone's invested in trying to make things work. And I think we've kind of, for the most part, hit the trough. And I would suspect that we start seeing, you know, increased activity even beyond what we've seen in the first quarter. And hopefully, you know, if I come back on here in the next couple of months, we'll be able to tell some real positive stories around some of these asset classes and some of these markets.
That's awesome. And it made me feel so much better now, Lonnie. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I appreciate you.
All right. And thanks for joining us around the country. Hey, please let us know what you think. I think, you know, there maybe we said some things you don't agree with, like my statement. I think office is going to turn around faster than most people think. I think most people would say I'm kind of nuts. But, you know, you've got buildings torn down, buildings transferred to other uses. You're going to have no new supply soon that's going to be cut off. You're going to have growth in the population and the job market. And also you're going to see companies more and more want to have folks back in the office for all the positive reasons that it helps them. At least some of them are already seeing it with some of the big major companies. So anyway, tell us what you think. Thanks for sharing the show with others. Connect with us on your favorite social media. And until next week, be sure that you always lead, learn, and laugh. And join us for America's Commercial Real Estate Show. America's Commercial Real Estate Show is brought to you by Bullitt Realty. For commercial brokerage sales and leasing in the Southeast U.S., contact our show host by email at michael@bullrealty.com. By Commercial Agent Success Strategies, 21 incredible one-hour agent training videos. Learn more at commercialagentsuccess.com. And by Lument. For senior housing, healthcare, and multifamily financing, visit lument.com. For more podcasts and videos, subscribe and visit creshow.com.